In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Sermon on the Mount is about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's the one, the only one, who fulfills everything God's law requires of man. Jesus illustrates that the law of God is so great that no man can keep it. Because the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and of marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and condemns the sinner, leaving him no place to escape. St. Paul describes this function of the law. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Jesus here preaches the law in such a way that makes it far more penetrating and deadly than it appears. It's more than simply, thou shalt not kill. If you've even been angry with your brother or reviled him, then you've killed him. Jesus condemns not only the physical act, but even the state of your heart. Your heart, lips, and whole body are to be chaste and to afford no occasion, aid, or encouragement to sin. He leaves you no wiggle room, no loophole, no excuse, no exception. To be angry and wrathful with your brother is to stand guilty. To look lustfully at another is to be condemned. How can your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees? It can't, at least not outwardly. Outwardly, none could surpass them in righteousness. But Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, outwardly clean and pure, but inwardly full of uncleanness and dead man's bones. Yours must be an inward righteousness. But what does this mean? Yours must be the righteousness of faith. It must be that which cries out, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart hath trusted in him, and I am helped. For God's law is more than a list of do's and don'ts. It's the perfect will of God for you, which describes your relationship to God and to your fellow man. The law requires what you cannot give. Faith and love to God above all things, and love for the neighbor as oneself. Jesus not only did the law actively by keeping its moral and ethical requirements, doing what it commands, abstaining from what it forbids, awaiting and receiving all things patiently from his Father, loving and serving those whom you hate and ignore, but he also did the law passively, by suffering the punishment the law required of us. He's the one crucified in your place. There is no sin you commit that he's not punished for. Jesus suffers for every one of your sins of thought, word, and deed, for what you have done and left undone. The tablets of the law, which rightfully hang around your neck, dragging you down, are removed from around yours and hung around his, nailed into his flesh and jammed into his brow. His shoulders are weighed down with every evil word you speak and every vile thought you think. Jesus suffers and dies, the innocent for the guilty. And it is pleasing to him that he should do so, for Jesus loves you. Thus he speaks another word. He says, it is finished. As he hangs upon the cross, stripped of his clothing, flesh stripped from his body, baptized in his own blood, Jesus declares an end to the old order, to the old creation. He declares the end of the reign of sin and death. He declares that he has handed himself over to the guard and prison in your place. Jesus declares that all the accusations of the law have done their worst, but to him, and not you. He declares that in the offering of this great and final sacrifice, sins are forgiven, that life in him now reigns. Christ's passive obedience is the most important thing for sinners. He received the punishment for sin that you deserved. This is the righteousness of God that exceeds any righteousness of man. The righteousness of Christ's death is your only salvation. St. Paul says we are justified not by works of the law, but by faith in Christ. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In this way, the law is your accuser, which would deliver you to the judge, Christ himself, and the judge to the guard, who is Satan, and the guard to the prison, which is hell. It would, that is, unless you agree with its accusations and despaired of your own righteousness, unless you repent and confess your sins. You must be saved, fed, and lifted up, delivered forever in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the judge who is yet more than happy to burden himself with the law's demands for you, to answer every last stone-cold accusation. He fulfills the law perfectly as he bears your punishment and dies your death. But by his death, Jesus kills the guard, destroys the prison, and sets you free. Jesus pays every last single penny in his most precious blood. What then of those who don't agree with the accuser? That is, who do not repent of their sins? They're cast into hell. To excuse or deny your sins before God is to call him a liar. To excuse or deny your sins is to mock his righteousness. The one who doesn't repent will not be forgiven, will be cut off from the body of the church, and will be condemned. Because your own righteousness is nothing, you will never be able to pay the price. You'll never get out. Yet even here, Jesus speaks comfort. Where there is repentance, he restores the body. Jesus, who made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, and the dead live, also makes his own body, the church, whole in the holy absolution. It is indeed good and pleasant when brothers dwell together in the unity of Jesus, for he not only reconciles you to his Father, but also with one another. Jesus forgives your sins against one another that you may dwell in unity. He restores you that you may show mercy to your neighbor, that you may be joined to his church and receive here the gifts he richly and freely gives, that you receive eternal life. Raised with Jesus, you now walk in newness of life. The commandments are now a delight, not a burden. You're reconciled to God and your brother, loving and serving both with perfect and holy love. And this not by compulsion of the law, but simply by the fact that this is who you are now in Jesus Christ. For the righteousness which exceeds all, which reconciles you to the Father and makes you pleasing to God, is not your own, but the pure and holy robe of Christ, dyed in his blood. You are holy, because you are joined to Jesus. And on the last day you shall arise, glorious and incorruptible like him. This Jesus, crucified yet living, nourishes you with all goodness. He claims you as his own and covers you in his perfect righteousness. He even feeds you with your ransom price, his own true and living body and blood. His is the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. His righteousness fulfills the law and is grounded in God's self-sacrificing love for man. Jesus is your substitute. The law must reveal your sin so that you receive Christ and his righteousness as your own by faith in the word of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. You live not by your own works, but by faith in Christ. To be perfect is to live by faith in God's mercy under the righteousness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.